Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
On whose land we are gathered on, I'd like to pay respects to the Yuggera and the Turrbal people. Also, would like to pay respects to our elders, past, present, and also would like to pay respects to people tuning in via National Indigenous Radio Service and also via 98.9 FM. My guest on today's show is no stranger to Let's Talk. He's Uncle Kevin's been on here a fair few times over the years. And yes, my guest is Uncle Kevin Buzzacott, Arrabunna man from South Australia. This weekend, there's a conference and a celebration in South Australia. We'll be having a yarn with Uncle Kevin about that. Just before we start, Uncle Kev, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Yeah, I'm Kevin Buzzacott, Arrabunna elder, peacemaker, from the Lake area. Which is up on the Hoonadetta track, and my mob's Arrabunna people.
Mm-hmm.
And glad to be talking to you again.
Likewise, Unc. It's been quite a while. Been quite some time in between yarns with you. How you been?
Yeah, been a bit cooked, Not travelling.
Not you haven't been travelling, but you did travel to Canberra to catch up with Clinton.
Yeah, I went and caught up with Clinton and some of the mob there, and it was beautiful to do that. And mm-hmm. I think I go back in November, there's quite a big gathering coming up there.
Oh, yep. What did you make of Clinton's walk, of his journey and stuff across the country? What did you think of that?
Oh, Clinton's was great. He's great what he done and some of his mob from the west came over, and I think one of the bigger thing too he done is he woke us all up and sort of boosted the embassy a bit more, and people were, you know, and now it's going to be we take it to another level. I think that's what the whole thing is, that our movement of our survival issue that we got with the government, I think it's gone to another level, and I think that's what we have to do. We take it to another level.
That's it. Speaking of movements, Unc, you've been involved in the anti-nuclear movement and also the taking of uranium out of country. Could you tell us a bit about your involvement in the anti-nuke movement?
Yeah, 20 years ago we started off this Alliance Against Uranium, because this was, a lot of it was to do with the Jabiluka movement. We had all the Jabiluka mob down there, and there's a few other people. Well, there weren't that many of us then time, but people who was affected by uranium, I'm just not too sure what that word was, but affected by uranium, got together in Alice Springs, and we formed this Alliance Against Uranium. And this weekend, we've got 20 years since we've started it. So we still, we still got an unfinished business with uranium mine and stress waste dump. So we're gathering this weekend. There's lots of people this weekend talking about it and where we're going, and also it's a part of a little bit celebration, because there's a lot of those, some of those oldies that was with us 20 years ago has passed on now.
Yes. And this celebration, the group you're talking about is ANFA, Australian Nuclear Free Alliance.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what it's called now, from Alliance Against Uranium.
Originally it was called that. Oh, okay, yep.
Yeah, now it's called Australian Nuclear Free Against Alliance. So we go all over the place. And I think we've been having more in the state that's been more with uranium mines and threats of uranium mine, and also the waste dump threats. So, and yeah, so I don't know whether we got another 20 years left. I don't know whether I have. But I think the organisation will probably keep going, despite, well, as soon as we close them down, our aim is to shut them down, shut this industry down, and then, you know, so we can start healing the land that's been destroyed. There's been lots of sacred sites destroyed by the development of this mine. And not only the actual mine, but the road that goes, the roads and all that other development going into the place. That desecrated sites just by putting the roads in. So, and the biggest worry, biggest concern is our uranium that they've been using in from Australia, from our country, has been turned into the killer weapon, depleted weapon. It goes to all those countries in the world where the wars are happening, and even up the recent time now with everybody's talking about North Korea, and that thing's a bit lively up there at the moment. So, and we feel helpless because our uranium has been turned into this deadly weapon and it's been killing a lot of our brothers and sisters all across the world. And some of us have traveled to those countries and apologized to the people that's been affected, even the Chernobyl and Japan, and all over.
And this is, sorry, Unc, you were saying, you know, like you've been involved with ANFA since it started its inception in Alice Springs 20 years ago. And this is, this fight against, you know, the removal of uranium is very close to you, very close to your heart. And in proximity of, you know, your country as well. Could you tell us a bit about Roxby Downs?
Olympia. They call it Olympic Dam, the actual mine place. Site is just a few k's out of Roxby Downs, the township. And that's a part of, we share that country, it's like a shared country between Kukuta and Arabana. But the biggest thing with Arabana is the water. They are taking the water out of the Great Art Lake Air Basin, Artesian Basin, whatever it's called, and they're taking over something to 40 million litres per day. And it's beautiful water. It's a sacred water as well. It's come from the sacred lakes. And it affects the Mound Springs. It affects all our country. The trees have died. Animals have been affected by it. And it goes over there, 42 million litres per day goes across to Olympic Dam. It's used to separate the ores and stuff, and then once you do that, it's put into a tailings dam type of thing. Really, it's like a waste dump, and it's just laid out in the, on the top of the earth. It's meant to be evaporated and whatnot, and out of night, whatever the way they do it, but it is very dangerous, toxic. There's a lot of... we just want to shut them down. We don't want them to take any more water out of the basin because it also affects the sacred Mound Springs. We've got lots of springs there and some have already gone. And if we were to shut it down, it'll take a long time for some of that to come back again and also the animals and maybe some of the young trees. But it's a very devastating thing for a lot of us.
Yes, it is. Sorry, Unc? I was just saying, it is a very, very devastating thing.
When we started, I'm just not too sure the year and everything that started, but me and my people, old and young, we went out there and See, them days we didn't know much about uranium. We call it a different thing in our way. And we didn't know until they, well, although they did the Marilyn the bomb and stuff, not far from where we are too, but when they started coming and digging over there, you know, a lot of us was, you know, well, Aboriginal stockmen, old railway workers, and just doing our stuff out in the desert. And we didn't sort of realise, you know, until this place is, I think, is building and is still wanting to build to be the biggest uranium mine in the world. And then they were talking, and to do that, they're still going to try to extract more water. So what are they going to take, another 40 million, maybe 80 million, 100, whatever million they pay, litres. So that's going to really kill the land. And this is why we've been calling out for help. A lot of those old people, my point was, with those old people and some of them young people, they've passed.
Mm-hmm.
They've passed on since there's not many of us left who's been around to talk about it. And it's a sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have got sick in that area recent time and before I've passed away. With cancer, dialysis, heart attacks, and strokes, and all that sickness.
Mm.
And we've never had that before, so we know it's coming from that area.
Yeah.
I mean, our environment or our country was just as good as all the old countries. It was pure, clean, fresh air, clean water, fresh, beautiful, lovely, but it's been fairly well. Affected.
Yeah, and so so the group ANFA, so they look after, or, you know, that's a combination of, you know, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people that have been involved in fighting against the removal of uranium, the dumping of uranium, and also, like you just mentioned, Maralinga, you know, where they tested, you know, some nuclear bombs where Britain did in the 50s. And so there's mob involved in ANFA that have been affected by the Maralinga testing?
Yeah, the bomb test, there's a lot of those people who took the brunt of it, mm-hmm. mainly the West Coast, the Yalata, Siduna mob. And then, I mean, a lot of the thing probably went all around the country, the dust storms and whatnot, but the one who took the brunt of it were the... they were, a lot of those people, representatives and people from there will be at this meeting as well. So I guess they'll be talking about that and looking at that. The ANFA's great in that other sense, but it's not really a big full-on organisation yet. We do fundraise. We have to fundraise to keep ourselves going and to get certain people there and whatnot. It's, but it could grow into something. It could go into a giant, and mining companies and government are aware of that, AMPA, and all our contact with all the people. We've got reps linked to it from all around the country now, and it's growing, it's getting bigger and
That's deadly.
One of the things I'm going to be pushing, I know I'm jumping the gun with this one, they'll probably shoot me down, but we're getting our embassies involved. We're getting the Aboriginal tent embassy involved. I'm going to put a couple of reps on there from the Aboriginal tent embassy so we can have maybe a meeting there. And also your embassy up there, the Musgrave Park mob, we're going to get to those mob on the committee. Hopefully we can have... our meetings up there too, even if it's a skeleton meeting of so many people.
That's it.
And you got the games coming up. When's that on? Next year?
Yeah, that's on next year, Unc. You know, it's going to be a big gathering, so I would love to, you know, talk to the ANFA mob to come over.
Yeah, well, mob. We can give that a big plug.
On the weekend.
Well, you're coming down, ain't you?
Yeah, my partner and our daughter coming down, yes.
And the little baby, yes. That'd be good. Yes. And you can give them a plug about the embassy and what's happening next year, and we'll try to get rally up people to get there.
Definitely.
I don't know about me. I'll see how I go. You know, I'm only running on one cylinder at the moment. I used to run on eight cylinder, but I just got to repair, tune the other cylinder.
Turn up. That's it, yeah. Also, you know, you've also been involved in, like, the gatherings that you've been bringing people to. You had the second one last year, the Lizard Revenge. Could you tell us a bit about that?
I just missed that little bit.
Oh, could you tell us a bit about the Lizard's Revenge?
Oh, yeah. We had that...
last year? Or the year before?
Yeah, last year, year before. I'm not too sure. And, we have that every day, and then we've got one more to go. Maybe the lizard shot him down or something. The lizard just won or something, kicked the goal maybe. We haven't worked on that one yet because people are a bit busy working out other things. We go there and give them curry. One person got arrested. I think there was 500 walked in and 500 walked out. They were too frightened to arrest anybody. One got arrested for a little minor charge, and there was a bit of a mistake or something, so they let him out. Before other people got, arrested and whatnot, charged big time. But this time, we had them really rocking. They were very scared of the mob that turned up there, and, you know. Just being the presence, your presence sometimes is enough for some of these mob. I think it's got a lot to do with the development too. They've gone down. I think some of the workers also a bit worried about them because they've gone too far down, and the gas is getting poisoned. I think there's also been some people awfully sick from the gas. The workers. It was a pretty exciting time, and. We've had rallies and stuff there and did, you know, it's a little thing. The young ones, we got a lot of the young ones there. We get them out there rallying and blocking the roads and whatnot. So, very good. But I don't know when we're going to have the next one. I hope it's the last one.
Yes, that's it, eh?
A big victory, shut them down one.
Also, could you tell us this, like, it's called the Lizard's Revenge, the significance of the lizard in that part of the country?
The lizard, yeah, the old sleepy lizard, some people call it, the old shingleback lizard, the old Kalta. Now, the one that looks like he's going forward or backward, he looks the same both end, the tail, his head and whatever. That's one of the stories that were in the creation time, he rested there. And that's the thing that they're digging up now.
And what happens if they wake him?
They're getting the uranium from there.
Yeah. Well, his stomach.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if you're just tuning in to 98.9 FM, this is Let's Talk. I'm the host, Bo Spearham, and my guest is Uncle Kevin Buzzacott, Arabana man, and also one of the conveners of the AMFA, for the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance, and also for that gathering that's going to happen in South Australia, in Adelaide, this weekend, which is their 20th year. We're just going to take a quick song break, and we'll be back chatting with Uncle Kev very, very shortly.
Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? What we deserve, all I'm asking, Lord, is this what we deserve? We've been here since time began. Our ancestors' footprints are buried in the sand. We are but caretakers. This ancient land that you still don't understand. Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? are so unjustified. Our basic human rights have been denied. Come up with excuses like your hands are tied. But you go on committing genocide. Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Can you tell me now? Is this what we deserve? Just keep on trying. Our poor eyes, they just keep on crying. And sadly, our people, they just keep on dying. While you just keep on lying. Is this what we? Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Can you tell me now? Is this what we deserve?
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Guest is Uncle Kevin Buzzacott, proud Arabunna man and proud staunch fighter against the removal of uranium and also the active use of nuclear once it's turned. So, Uncle Kev, could you, on the break, I just asked you if we could get a bit more in-depth about the conference, about the gathering and the celebration of ANFA this weekend, the 20th year. So there's going to be people that have been involved in the movement and also that people that have been affected by uranium from Maralinga, and then there's also going to be some mob that are fighting against the waste dump.
Yeah, we've got people coming from WA, Northern Territory, South Australia, Queensland, New South Wales, all around. We've got them coming from everywhere. And these are people who's got uranium mines happening already, and also some proposed mines are ready to go, especially in WA. So the old people and everybody over there are really concerned about all those activities that could be happening there, because it's all on sacred site.
Yes.
As everybody should know by now, all these mines are on sacred sites. And very big time deadly sacred sites. And that's why everybody's coming to ANFA wishing that, saying, you know, getting support, and hopefully we can stop these giant miners and even the Australian government, the state government, stopped destroying our land anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's going to be a good meeting, I think so.
Yeah, no, it is. It is, yes. Like you're saying, mob from all around the country. And also, like, one of the things that Australia does when it, you know, gets rid of the, you know, when it rips their uranium up and sells it, like, we take it back after it's used.
Well, that's the big issue. That's when the waste. It goes home as a killer thing. I mean, it's not like other stuff you use and you fill your car up with petrol, it's used, it's gone, it evaporates. But with this stuff, once there's no end to it. That's, when you use it, when it's finished at the end of it, it's just as deadly as what it was in the first place, even deadlier.
Mm-hmm.
Then they bring it back in different ways and they look for places where they can bury it, the waste. And they generally go again to a remote area. Well, I haven't done that in Lucas Heights, but anyhow, they go out in the desert where they think there's nobody out there or no sacred sites and whatnot, and then they bury it. This is what they're looking for. And everybody's well aware of waste now, how it could seep through into the water system,
mm-hmm.
And the radiation and whatever, and the same killers. It's like dropping a bomb again because it kills animals, it comes through the radiation of it, and it's got to be carted. The biggest thing is you've got to cart it there. It's got to come from all around by ships and whatnot and train, road train as well as railway line, and it's got to travel through beautiful country, beautiful townships and whatnot. And should there be an accident, a spillage on that road, getting to the old desert or somewhere where they want to dump it, then those people, those towns on the way will be affected big time.
And
you
guess...
You can't see this stuff. You can't see it. You can't smell it. At the end of the day, you just get sick.
Mm. Oh, okay. And one of the last cases, one of the last recent cases of mob fighting... Of rejecting, you know, a uranium dump was the Muckety case. You're right, Unc.
See, they've started it here before the waste dump. Before they wanted to dump it here, and we fought it very hard, and we told them then we don't want you to bother other people, other country, other families of ours, and threatened, you know, and they did. They took it up to Muckety.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to do it at Muckety. So we went up there, done a few trips up there, and we sent all our old people that actually stopped it here, the old manners and old girls, and we got them thinking up there about it. So we really shut them down up there too. And now they want to bring it back to South Australia again.
Yep.
So, and they used the tricks, you know, the same old tricks. They've got our Aboriginal people on there, and they've conned you with money and toy overs, millions of dollars and whatnot.
Mm.
And the mob, they just never wake up. They con these people to sign the deal and... You know, it's just a terrible thing.
It is, because, yeah, it's, you know, pitting our people against each other again.
Yeah, then we've got to have a blue or an argument with them.
So they've announced another location to dump some uranium in South Australia, you're saying, Unc?
Yeah, they've got a couple of sites, but I think they're going to, because... We've been jahooing about that. I thought I heard that next year they're going to announce another place where it's going to go.
Oh, so it's not going to be...
Or maybe the same place. I'm not too sure.
Mm-hmm. And where was... do you remember whereabouts that was?
Sorry?
Do you remember whereabouts they announced that location?
The ones they've announced now is up towards the other lake in South Australia, Lake Torrens, and up to the Flinders Ranges. The Flinders Ranges are beautiful people, very beautiful country, and there's a lot of waterway there too. So if they're going to dump it there, it's definitely going to come through the waterway down back into the sea towards the Gulf of Spencer Gulf, which is near Port Augusta there. And there's another couple of places, a couple of farmers sang out in the Kimber area, which is on the other side of the Gulf, and said, you know, this is our land, we've got the farms and whatever there. Yes, we'll have it, take it there, we'll take it over there. So our mob been having a meeting with those mob as well, and the farmers, I think they got the right because they've got the farm there. So we don't know for sure where these mob, where the government or the mob are going to put it, but or try to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll contest it. We'll
do
the same as we always do, because people like myself and others, and not only just Aboriginal people, non-Aboriginal people too, are really with it and concerned about the dangers and whatnot. And,
Definitely.
Now go on.
And I was going to say, yeah, definitely. You know what? Once it's pretty apparent that our people can get sick from, you know, the fallout of it. You know, it's
yeah,
pretty sure that anybody, you know, is going to get sick from it as well.
Oh, uranium and waste. Maybe it kills everybody, not only us.
And
it kills us more in another sense because it kills our sacred life. Country as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, but it can kill everybody. As you know, the bombs and the radiation, all these people up there, size, cancer rate, people, everything out up in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been around for 71 years, I've seen people them days, mate, we all had six packs. Them people had six packs.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're all gone, you know, because we're living in a fresh, clean environment until all this other poison come.
Mm.
And, you know, I've seen people go blind and die and everything. Probably everywhere else, but same everywhere else. But, it's hard getting it through to these loggers.
Definitely. And I guess, Maralinga, that's like, you know, one of Australia's best kept secrets in terms of, you know, the destruction that it caused the Aboriginal people in that area.
They dropped bombs at Maralinga in that area. That's bigger than the bombs that they dropped at Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Oh, yep.
And they dropped a devastating bomb there at Nagasaki that was called the Fat Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And they dropped the bomb, tested a bomb up at Maralinga, 60 times bigger, powerful than that bomb they dropped at Nagasaki.
Yeah.
That's been documented. You know what they do? They like to keep history or trophy, like they did with us and everything else. They can't. Someone always writes about it.
Yeah.
And we're lucky we got whistleblowers now.
Yes, yes, yes.
They've been passing information out about all that. And
Wasn't there one for Maralinga, that old fellow who used to work there?
He'll be there tomorrow. He'll be there
on the weekend.
Friday, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, you think they would warn, some of the local mob around there that they're going to, you know, drop a nuclear bomb and stuff, but... Yeah.
Yeah, well, what they did is they took some, they removed some on the main road in the main areas, but they left the other mob. What's the point of testing a bomb? I'm saying it in a thing, mate. If you haven't got the people there, you've got to leave some people there and some animals and stuff there to see the impact of this bomb, what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And bombs as big as that type disintegrates.
Yeah.
Once you're at the fallout, it's just, you're gone. Mm. Wouldn't even find a bone or hair or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor buggers.
Yeah, this year, earlier this year, we lost an uncle whose family is from around that area where the Maralinga bomb site bomb dropped, and he eventually went blind at a young age from from the fallout.
Yeah, poor old fella. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But his children are going to be there talking up.
His kids. The kids will be there. Yeah, the daughters will be there talking, and some of the nanas.
Yeah, because you're like, earlier on in the yarn, you briefly mentioned that, the different effects that our mob have gotten, from the testing and from the fallouts of, uranium and stuff. But besides you fighting against the uranium, Unc, you've been very vocal and very staunch in your support for the fight and of the West Papuan people, our closest neighbours.
Yeah.
And you led a very interesting convoy, the Freedom Flotilla. Could you tell us a bit about why you thought it was important, to get involved in the movement to support West Papua?
It was awareness. It was, we talked with a couple of our Papuans and everybody in us. It was to make aware, of the stuff that they were doing out there. So we got together and we said the Freedom Flotilla. We kicked that off and went up and took all the risks and whatnot. And, it really got big coverage, a lot of people all around.
Mm.
And that's not finished yet. We want to do another one once we clear the deck and get through to... the Australian government is fully supporting the other bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indonesians and America, I think, is supporting them too as well, because the other place up there is full of gold and rich mineral gas and whatnot. And we want to do that again. I talked, did a little rave with a couple of the young Papuans in Canberra the other day. And one other thing I come up with, you say, let's free West Papua. And if you free West Papua, you free yourself.
Yes. And with that flotilla, you drove from your country through the East Coast. I remember you stopped up here in Brizzy, and we got to catch you there for a couple of days. And you went up north. You had some boats. And how far did you go with those boats?
Torres Strait. Mm. I don't want to say how we did
That's all good.
Because, I know it's the other mob want to talk about it and let it know down the track, mate.
That's all good. That is all good, Unc.
That's all right. But I want a big one day. I'm going to get the yacht, the big ship, and all of us go.
Mm. And Captain Uncle Kevin, then I was. Or Uncle Captain Kev.
Something like that.
Yeah. I guess, you've been involved, in fighting against uranium and supporting, other Indigenous peoples' plights. And you would have seen, lots of young fellas come through and join in the fight. Do you have, what messages do you have or encouraging words for younger fellas, younger Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people, younger non-Aboriginal people that, that would want to get involved?
There's a lot of young fellas around now who's ready. When we first started off all these rallies and campaign, even the Aboriginal Tent Embassies and all them great old heroes, they were just doing it, whatever, solid, hard.
Mm.
We never been equipped. We're better equipped now, never been better equipped than we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those young people back then were little, some weren't even born. Now they know about our movement. They know they are very deadly now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... So let's get these young ones together and, you know, so they can take over some of the things that we try to do or we've done. And I don't know. But I'm just saying what the...
Yeah.
Yeah, come, don't be frightened to come down and join up because we need a little help, this young help. It's how our legs are getting a bit weak and a bit whatever, but... We can work it out the deadliest way ever.
Mm, yes.
But we need the young ones just as much as we need everybody else, you know, old ones and whatever.
Yes.
No. Because the stakes too high, and, you know, everybody know we've got this big unfinished business with this mob.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not only the uranium, but the desecration, the sacred sites. We've got to visit all our old... massacre sites, we've got to apologise to the old people, we've got to do ceremonies, healing, begin this big healing right across the country.
Yes.
And not only a matter of saying sorry, but that's what I've been telling people, that I don't want any apology to me. I'm only doing what I'm supposed to do or born to do.
Mm.
And that's what other people should be doing too. And we definitely hold to the old country and to our creators and our old nanas and papas. And
definitely.
Yeah. Sky's the limit.
Yes. Also, in the media as of late, there's been a lot of talk, especially overseas, you know, there's been the removal of these colonial statues and monuments. And earlier this year, you know, somebody went and defaced the Captain Cook statue in Sydney, wrote, you know, No Pride and Genocide, changed the date.
Yeah, I saw that on the news.
Mm. What's your take on all these monuments that they have and should they be removed?
Well, these fellas are going to, these government, we've got one of the outcomes from Clinton's war, was beating the government and the prime minister and opposition. Now the Queen wants to see him and 40 elders.
Oh, steady.
So now we've got to work next year. This is so next year we've got to put put all these messages to them. And somebody said, "Oh, we'll get rid of this King statue at the embassy there." I said, "Hang on, I think we might use him as a barter." One of my messages to the Queen will be something like, "Hey, come and clean up what your ancestors, your mess. Come and clean up your ancestors' mess. And here's your flag back, which is the Union Jack, not the Southern Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And here's your law back, books and whatnot. And we can use those statues. I think it's a bargaining tool sort of thing, you know?
Mm.
You don't remove them, we will.
That's
but
it.
I'm not saying that. Don't do it the other way first. Give them a chance.
Mm.
And we've got to acknowledge our old heroes too, you know.
Definitely.
But think about that too, what messages people want to send with the Clinton and whoever's going over there. What they want to put to the Queen. I mean, that's where the problem comes from in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And there were ancestors that come out here. I'm not too sure what it was, his pop or nana or pop or uncle or what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I see all that.
Yes.
We're going to put the responsibility back where it belongs. And when it's regarding this country, it's us.
Yeah.
We're it, not them. They can't tell us how to live from this country because they wouldn't know anything.
Mm.
Some might know, there's some good ones who's tried and, you know, the best, but the government people, the people who's calling the shots, we just have to pull them up. They can't rule us anymore.
No, they can't. And
tell us how to, whatever. You know what? The another thing at the embassy, not embassy in Canberra, when we did the march, Clinton went up there to see what's his name, the PM. The bloke, the security up there, had a machine gun, AK-47. That's the gun, you know, that's repeated thing. That's the one they used in the Vietnam and that. But this probably would have been updated version of it. And there were snipers sitting up in the Parliament House.
When was this?
When we did the walk up, when we went up to Clinton, with Clinton supporting to do the...
Really?
...to the PM.
Oh, never heard about that one. Yeah.
No?
Nah, the first time I heard that one, huh?
Yeah, but...
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I don't know. People did take photo of it, of them, and I don't know who's got it. See, people are just putting it out. They've gone back from there, and and I thought, hang on. You know, I said to the bloke, I said, is that a real gun? He said, yeah. I said, what are you going to shoot with that? And, you know, he just did a smart thing and said something like, you walk with North Korea or something.
Oh.
And these were crazy. But anyhow... We'll have to get these young ones with cameras and whatever to check all that out.
Definitely, definitely.
I think they must do that every time they have their parliamentary sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, you mob up in your parliamentary sitting. I said, we have an ours too down at the embassy. So, anyhow, it'll all come out in the wash.
It will, Unc. I just want to say a thank you to your Uncle Kev for coming on the show this morning. And, you know, I can't wait to catch up with all you mob on the weekend up there and over there in Adelaide.
Yeah.
What's the weather like? Is it cold or warm or should I bring...
Beautiful. Now I'm just about ready to take off my other coat. It's 20 year.
Yep.
I think our winter's just about gone here. I think it's going to be a good couple of days. And always a pleasure to talk to you, mob, and all the brothers and sisters out there, viewers listening. We get there one day. I think it's not too far away.
Yes. No,
I feel like our spirits and our country, our spirits right with us, right on par, right on track.
Yes, that's deadly. But yes, thank you, Uncle Kev, and I will see you on the weekend. It'll be good to see all you mob out that way see what trouble we can cause or get ready to cause. But anyways, I just want to thank you, Uncle Kev.
Righto.
And we're going to cut to a song by Uncle Archie Roach.
Walk down the street one day, saw my brother on his way. Left sad and sick and lonely. Turned to me and said, and he said, brother, I don't understand what's happened to the curry man. He took the weapons from my hand. It was much more, so much more today.
to your brotherhood. Get back to your manhood if you think you can. Well, yeah, back to your spirit, back to your land. Arms in your hand, Aboriginal man.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
And you're back on Let's Talk. I just want to say a big thank you for Uncle Kev for tuning in, for coming as our guest on Let's Talk this morning. I'm going to say goodbye and I will see yous, and you will hear Let's Talk Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.9 FM. Or you can catch it on the NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service, or on our podcast online at 98.9fm.com.au. I want to say a big thank you to all of our listeners and stay tuned to 98.9 FM.
The first step towards quitting smoking is to think through the reasons you'd like to quit. Some reasons people give up smoking is to breathe better, be a role model for their children, or save money. Those are all good things to find motivation. Your health and well-being will also be improved. Gillian Bleasby, telecounselling team leader from Quitline, explains the health benefits.
Quitting smoking is the best thing that you can possibly do for your health. Smoking actually affects pretty much every organ in your body. So when you quit smoking, it's like a total health overturn. It reduces your risks of any cancers that you might have. It helps things like fertility, down to things like that, you know, your hair won't smell, and you won't get those awful fingernails, that sort of thing too. You'll be a lot fitter and healthier. And then in the end, with all of those things, you'll end up living longer because you'll be fitter and healthier.
Your journey towards being smoke-free can begin by speaking with your GP for support. You can also call Quitline for advice on 137848.
A message from the Staying Strong Project, funded by the Australian Government Department of Health.
Go nakne, dolce vono no, blip, blip, blip.